Welcome back to RX Radio, listener. My name is Tariq Kenny, and you are tuned into the second broadcast of CCC, which is Conversations with the Children's Commissioner. And we will have the Commissioner with us today, along with staff member and, of course, the government monitors. Today, we kickstart this program by speaking about the impact that COVID-19 has had on our mental well-being. As mentioned in my introduction, with me today, I do have Christina, who is the Children's Rights Commissioner. Why have you decided to focus on advocating for children's mental health awareness during COVID times?
Well, I think since the very start of my discussions with children on the 1st of June 2020, when I came into office, they were talking about being afraid. So they were talking to me in a feelings language. And, I just had to engage with them on those platforms because that seemed to be top of mind for them. They were really worried. They were scared for the virus. They were scared to go back to school. They were anxious. They were nervous. Those were all the words that they were using about going to school. They also spoke a lot of feelings words about being in lockdown. So I think that, I always have a policy of meeting children where they are at, and they were in a feelings space.
We have many younger listeners on RX Radio. How would you explain to them exactly what mental well-being is?
Well, as I say, it's really talking about your feelings and sharing your feelings with others around you. I think from the very beginning, when we go to school or creche or everything, we get taught, even in our homes, feelings words. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling mad. I'm feeling happy. And I think mental health, very simply put, is talking about your feelings.
You now have the first staff member in your office. What will she be doing?
Yes, I'm very excited to, on the 1st of February of this year, to have welcomed Tessa Goldschmidt into my office. She is the Children's Commissioner Officer. And simply put, this means that she will work directly with children. When I go and do community engagements, she will be the direct liaison for the child government monitors. And so any communications with children, she is my partner in those endeavors.
Thanks for the interview, Christina. Don't forget, listener, to interact with us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are at RX Radio SA. And on WhatsApp, we are 060-621-8048. That's 060-621-8048. Send us a message or a voice note and let us know how learning from home was for you. But before we get into the interview, I have one sweet track to play for you. This is That's Why I Love You by Thai Platinum.
Daar is 'n spesiale persoon in ons provinsie wat die regte van alle kinders beskerm. Sy word die kinderkommissaris genoem. Sy het superpowers gekry om haar werk te doen. Haar eerste superpower is om te kyk na wat die regering doen om alle kinders se lewens te verbeter. Byvoorbeeld, sy wil verstaan of skole en klinieke goeie plekke is vir kinders. Sy wil ook verstaan wat kinders veiliger sal laat voel. Sy wil weet van kinders se bekommernisse en al drome. Haar derde superpower is om almal te vertel hoe wonderlik kinders is en dat ons hulle moet waardeer. Sy vra vir volwassenes om na kinders se gevoelens en opinies te luister. Die kinderkommissaris is daar om na kinders se advies te luister wanneer niemand anders na hulle wil luister nie.
RX Radio. RX Radio rocks.
Ourselves now, lying right here in my arms. I know you've been waiting for.
Girl, you're the
only thing on my mind. I could try to save your soul. I guess I'm just not that bold. Same. walls, and I don't ever want to be just another memory. So I pray we stay madly in love till our very last day.
I want to spend my time.
I feel everything you make me feel.
Right in the middle, stuck with you.
You and my back throughout it all, girl. So I pray we stay madly in love till I fail.
Welcome back, listener. As mentioned before, we will be talking to the Children's Commissioner Officer. How are you? And thanks for joining us on RX Radio.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Before we get into your work with the Commissioner, please introduce yourself to the listener and tell me more about yourself.
My name is Tessa Goldschmidt. I enjoy nature. I love the ocean. I'm a bit of a foodie too, so I like really good food. I guess I'm more of an introvert. Although, you know, I could say that I'm somewhere in the middle of the spectrum. I have a very curious nature. I enjoy reading and exercising, hiking. So I feel like I'm a pretty well-rounded individual.
How does it feel to be the first staff member of the Office of the Commissioner for Children?
I think it feels a bit historic. Pretty historic. I feel happy and grateful that, you know, that I was offered this opportunity. Because, you know, when you're a student, and especially coming from the social sciences, you're often concerned about what job opportunities will be available for you and if it's like aligned with your interests. So I am delighted that I ended up in this office where child rights and children's well-being is prioritized. So yes, I'm very happy that I am in this institution, and I know that I will definitely grow in many aspects working alongside Christina.
I believe you are studying psychology. Is this linked to your interest in children?
Yes, I guess you can say that. In the beginning, it was, you know, just my interest in people. I was just very fascinated with why people behave the way they do and how they interact with others. So
people are crazy at times, eh?
Yes. So I wanted to become a child psychologist initially, but then as I grew and developed, and when I actually studied psychology at university, I steered more into the research psychology field because, you know, I think because of my curious nature. So, and also because, you know, I like information and I like sharing information with people. So that's probably my main factors that contributed to my career choice.
What has it been like to work with the Child Government Monitor so far?
So I've only started interacting with them since last week. But since I started on the 1st of February, Christina has been slowly exposing me to the monitors in different ways, you know, through their submissions and telling me about the experiences that she's had with them, their personalities. So I feel like I've gotten to know them more. But what I can say is, like, from last week's interactions, I am very amazed and also inspired by the monitors because they are very vocal about their rights. They're very conscious about their rights as children and as humans. And also, I think that it's very impressive the way that Christina has been taking, you know, very complex concepts and topics like governance and breaking it down in a way that the monitors will understand. I mean, I think I understand some things a bit better now. So yes, they are activists and they are great. And what I really like about the group of monitors is the way in which they support and encourage one another. So they're very empathic with one another, and I think that that is amazing. And from my interactions last week, it came through that, you know, they have become this big family on WhatsApp, and I think that that is really special. And I know that I am going to be learning a lot from them as well.
For children listening now that might feel anxious or scared due to COVID, what can they do at home to keep calm?
One thing that, you know, that's very common, that's easy to do, is to take deep, slow breaths. So, you know, when we are anxious, our breathing tends to be very quick and shallow. So breathing deeply and slowly helps reduce the feelings of stress, because it basically calms down your nervous system. So breathing in slowly through your nose, holding it for a few seconds, and then slowly exhaling through your mouth. And you can do this several times. Other things that children can do is, you know, to talk to a friend or a parent or an adult who they trust and, you know, who they feel they can confide in. They can also write their feelings or journal their feelings. Exercising is also a very good thing to do for stress and anxiety. Then I would say easy things like listening to music and just healthy distractions like reading or building a puzzle or, you know, helping your parent or family member in the kitchen or, you know, easy things like that.
What can parents do to ensure they help children in keeping calm if they do experience feelings of anxiety?
I think when it comes to parents, I think it's very important that parents also first tend to their own anxieties if they have. So validating their own emotional experiences before they address their child's anxieties. So conscious breathing, like the example I gave earlier. And then I think it's also helpful when parents share their own experiences of anxiety with their child. So that kind of normalizes the child's experiences. Also having discussions with their children. How are you feeling today? Why do you feel this way? Getting on their level and just talking to them and being there for them. And then also engaging in some positive self-talk. Maybe telling your child, yes, even though you feel scared or anxious about something, you will be okay, you will be fine. Things like that are really helpful to say. Also creating more healthy distractions for the children, maybe inviting them into the kitchen, let's bake, let's dance, let's do some yoga. For example, I think it was UNICEF, they did a little collaboration with the YouTuber Adrian. I think her channel's name is called Yoga with Adrian. So she has a playlist of yoga for children. You know, they did this whole thing during COVID. So I think that that's an option. And then also just sticking to routine, you know, because routine provides like a sense of ownership and makes you feel like you're in control. So I feel like that is also really helpful.
Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup perspective. So yes, I think that parents should tend to themselves first, because children also feed off their parents' energy. So that is really important. And thank you again for having me on your show today.
Not a problem. Thanks for being here.
Don't forget, listener, you can interact with us on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are at RX Radio SA. And on WhatsApp, we are 060-621-8048. That's 060-621-8048. Send us a message or a voice note. Let us know what you think of the interview and stay tuned as we have more coming up. And now to the next track, which is Forever or Never by Early B featuring Andrea Fortein.
There's a special person in our province that must protect children's rights. She is called the Children's Commissioner. She has been given superpowers to do her job to protect all children. The first superpower is to look for anything in the government that stops them from making children's lives better. For example, she wants to understand if schools and clinics are good places for children and how to make them feel safe. Her second superpower is to gather information that helps us understand children better. She wants to know about children's dreams and worries. Her third superpower is to tell everyone how wonderful children are and that they must be valued. She asks adults to listen to children's views and opinions. The Children's Commissioner listens to children, especially when nobody else wants to, so that everyone can do what they need to do to make children's lives better.
RX Radio. RX Radio rocks.
Check it, yo. Hey, give myself a little bad mama jammo. Govy body, if she was a track, she'd be a banger. Flippin' reg, holla, Owens wanna bag her. 6-inch heels, other kunners can't stand her. Van zijn kin gaan waar het gaan. En voor een paar minuten los, dan blok ze comfortable, man. Zeg me hoeveel Owens kan getuigen. Zo ziet dan ze gloeien, maar je gloeien naar ons overtrouwen vol, man. Woman, wie daddy is mijn ride, I want to make light, the way can sing, but in my mind's eye. Zie je naar die en brother, you can't even slide, guy. Verhouding is een key, en hij just had to gooi de schrijm. Brie, I had to just rebattle it back. Haar stap is klik klak, you don't want no trouble with that. Ze geeft me loyalty en ik geef haar die loyalty back. Van ons verhouding is een houding en ze houdt het intact met net facts.
Baby boy, je hebt mijn arki. En ik vertrouw dat samen in jou. Zo het maakt niet zaak op waar je ooit zal gaan. Ik loop die volle strijd met jou. Want jij is mijn forever. En zonder jou is dat net.
Alles in mijn kracht doen voor die fruity cutie beauty. Girl, you grab me undivided all times when you speak. Weet dat was al aan de mannen, ik is nou die dude. Altijd even je wagie, ik mening voor jou, baba, you'll see. I didn't come here to verspil your time. Ik is liefdevol en funny, baba, yes, your guy. Verkies voor jou in nabij van het samen eettime. Van elke call wat ons doet, we never say bye. Better days is on the verge. I fell in love with her when she was at the worst. En al mijn exen was een practice run for thus. Je maakt mijn leven lekker, alles met jou was een plus. Praat altijd van jou, like I get you op mijn brood geëerd. Ik was ook al verliefd, maar nog nooit zo geweest. Jouw liefde, mijn vertrouwen, geloof, genies. Ik ga op één knie, zak je nog mijn schat, ik hoop je zo gereed.
Baby boy, je hebt mijn arki. En ik vertrouw dat samen in jou. Zo het maakt niet zaak op waar je ooit zal gaan. Ik loop die volle streep met jou. Want jij is mijn forever. En zonder jou is dat never.
Vertrouwen mij is veilig om jouw hart te beschermen. Ik zal het dubbel en dwars met warme liefde onferm. Schoenlappers wapper mij wakker binnen mijn derms. Van jij is gegeven mij, ik heb geland met de helm. Forever or never cancel, helaas genoemd baby. Ik is van die dal en jij brengt daglicht voor mij. Was één keer gezegd, ik moet mooi achter jou kijken. Van een waardevolle vrouw zal ik je twee keer krijgen.
Welcome back to RX Radio, listener. You are tuned into CCC. That's Conversations with the Children's Commissioner with myself, Tariq. And the track that we just played for you was Forever or Never by Early B and Andrea Fortein. I personally love that song. It's been on my playlist for the past week right now. In this section of the show, we will give an opportunity for the government monitors to share their opinions and experiences of how COVID has impacted their mental well-being. As mentioned in the introduction, I have the government monitors with me. Please introduce yourself.
Hey, everyone. My name is Christopher Claynons, and I currently am 17 years old, and I go to Wyoming Boys High School.
I am Ambrose Phillips. I reside in Bell Hall, Cape Town, and I attend Excelsior High School. And I'm 17 years old.
Hello, everyone. I'm Vimbaya Tambwa. I live in Fishhook, and I'm 15 years old.
Ambrose, you are a new government monitor to join us on RX Radio. How has it been for you to be a government monitor?
Good day, everyone. Being part of the government monitors group has been one of the most life-changing experiences thus far. I learned so much and also experienced so much in a time that is so uncertain. The irony was real, I'm telling you. So we did most of our things online via WhatsApp, and for me, the most the part of the journey that stood out for me was basically learning about government and legislation. That is my by far favorite part of being part of this group. Learning my rights, learning what I shouldn't do, and also learning more about structures in government.
Ambrose, what is it about politics that fascinates you?
Okay, so I won't say that I'm interested in pursuing a career in politics, but it is one of the most fascinating things for me. There is a misconception about politics, especially in the community that I come from. When you speak about politics, it's like, oh, why are you becoming political? Blah, 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 blah. But we don't realize that that is what is what our lives rotate about, and it affects our lives in so many ways and aspects. So basically, like I said before, learning about what my rights is and learning how I can liberate myself through speaking up and just using my voice as a child. Definitely, Christina taught us that so well, that we should not just speak things while we're doing that, but that we should factuate ourselves, that we should not speak anecdotal words, and that we should base our words with facts and also legislation. So that is the most important part that I have learned about politics and basically government as well.
Christopher, starting with you, please share your experience of how the pandemic impacted your mental well-being.
Awesome. So it's been a rough ride for a lot of people, I'm sure. And I mean, you know, like in life, there's always ups and downs. And I think COVID was one massive down that was thrown at us. But within it, it had our own personal ups and downs. And I mean, speaking personally now, it's been a whole, I would say a roller coaster, but I suppose a whole amusement park in terms of, you know, trying to deal with academics and trying to deal with your own mental health and how are you going to cope with keeping up with all the schoolwork, but also trying to have a social life without, you know, being in contact with everyone. And, you know, going to the shops was like the most exciting thing because you could leave your house. And it took a massive, massive hit on my mental health because I'm one of those people that can talk and talk and talk and need to talk and talk and need to be with other people and need, you know, that physical hugging and laughing and all that stuff, to being stripped out from all of that and put into, you know, your own place where you're supposed to stay now. You can go to the shops if need be, or you can, if you have to, you can go pick up something at this place. But if you really, really need to go to that person, then go, but really try staying indoors. So it was quite a shock. But during, you know, this whole COVID times, we ran a discussion with the rest of the child government monitors, and we discussed mental health during COVID times. And I facilitated the session along with Christina, and it was a really, really interesting session. And it was a really intense session, I do have to admit. And I was worried beforehand, you know, where would this go? Where would the session take us? And it's also a very sensitive topic for a lot of people. And, you know, you always have to start off with your basic ground rules that we have in the group, you know, letting everyone know that this could be a triggering situation. So, you know, don't feel pressured to join the discussion. If you're feeling overwhelmed, it's perfectly fine to leave. Christina is there to chat to you in private messages or give a call if you need to. So there were all these like things that we had in place before we started the discussion. And, you know, we started off just by saying, you know, do you guys, what is mental health? What does mental health mean to you? And we it was very interesting to see the responses, because we got each person sent in a different response to what mental health means to them specifically. And I thought it was really interesting because we didn't mean like, what's the Google definition for mental health? Sorry, I'll repeat that last bit because of the ambulance. We didn't ask for like the Google definition of mental health. We asked what it meant to you. And we got really interesting responses, and it was lovely to hear what it means from coming from their hearts. And we eventually moved on to trying to unpack the struggles that the government monitors had during mental health. And it was stressful and painful for a lot of the monitors, because a lot of us experienced loss of loved ones, and the anxiety levels rose massively during COVID times. And a lot of us were unsure what was going to happen. You know, when are we going to go back to school? How do I look after my family? Who can I go talk to? Who can help me? And all these things. So, or like speaking in general, most of the monitors were anxious and lonely, you know, being stripped from seeing your friends, teachers, family members, you know, other young people, your youth around. It was, everyone started to feel lonely, like you were in this by yourself, but actually so many people were in this with you. You're just going through it alone. So we ended up talking a lot about, you know, about the problems. What were the problems? How did you cope with it? And it was really interesting to see how people coped with it. A lot of us related to the idea of music, and listening to music, reading, learning new skills, watching movies, relaxing, and just, you know, caring for yourself. And COVID times helped a lot of us push through and look after our mental health. And we ended up getting a little bit, not sidetracked, just extended the conversation onto the idea of music. A lot of us found music a really helpful way, whether it be to express our emotions or to put a happy song on and start jamming to it. But it was kind of this whole problem that everything became overwhelming, and we had all these situations going on. And yes, there was this global pandemic of this coronavirus, but there was also like a mental health pandemic starting up. And a lot of the communities didn't have mental health support systems in place. And we focused on the physical effects of this pandemic, but we're forgetting about the impact that this pandemic's having on our mental health. So, and a lot of this lies on the government for not putting out adequate mental health support systems in communities. There's not a lot of access to school counselors in a lot of schools. It's very rare that there is access to mental health support systems in most communities, especially affordable mental health support systems. So this was a big problem that we found, was there was this lack of mental health support systems. And, you know, yes, you do have your friends and family in normal days, but now all you have is your friends over a phone screen. And yes, it's nice to chat to them through the phone screen, but it's not the same as seeing them in person. You can't get the emotion through a text message. You can read things differently. And it was just this, not mess, but getting thrown into something that was completely different and not a comfortable situation for a lot of us. So it was definitely time for us to realize that this pandemic is just more than the physical effects, and it has a way worse effect on people's mental health than what we think. And I think it's definitely something we have to start looking at, is how are we going to now move forward by implementing these mental health support systems in these communities, and start looking at the effects that this pandemic's having on people's mental health, as well as focusing on the physical effects of this pandemic.
Ambrose, over to you. Can you please share your experience?
Basically, being in isolation, that was one of the most dreadful and difficult experiences I personally had to live through. Being alone with only my dad as my company, I had minimal technology. And I also couldn't watch my favorite television shows like Riverdale, or The Crown, all these Netflix shows. Not knowing the outcome of this almost traumatic process was mentally challenging and made me vulnerable to anxiety, depression, and loneliness. I felt so angry and was frustrated during this period of time because I was so conscious and aware of this virus and followed literally every COVID-19 protocol pre-isolation and infection. I felt like all my efforts was for nothing, and I had some resentment towards the person that possibly infected me, possibly with inverted commas. So the thought of someone else's negligence that had put my family's health on the line made me bitter for a while. Through communicating with my family, friends, and people basically just scared via WhatsApp, I eventually was able to see the light and escape that negativity all around me. Having run out of data, having so little technology at my disposal because I wasn't in my home. I was in a windy or a type of a servant quarters. I had to catch up with my favorite activities I neglected, and so little that I saw little interest in pre-isolation. Through a endurance activity, something that keeps you going, something that literally just keeps you sane, such as reading, I could hold steadily to my sanity. I could hold steadily to my thoughts and my mindset. I had only one book, which was Grace, a novel written by Barbara Boswell. It's not actually about the term Grace, is about a Kryptonian book. But nevertheless, it kept me going and it just kept my mind off my surroundings and kept me focused on something other than what I'm experiencing right now. Finding new ways to cope allowed me to emancipate my thoughts and gain that mental health that I once had.
Vumbai, can you share your experience, please?
Hello. I won't be sharing mine as such, but I'll be sharing for my friend. Is that fine enough?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay, her name is Ashley. She says that coronavirus really had a huge impact on her mental health. During the lockdown, she discovered that she battled anxiety and depression at the same time. She says nobody knew or knows about it except for her best friend, but still, it was difficult for her to get to meet her due to the COVID restrictions and the lockdown. She ended up figuring ways to better it, like keeping herself busy so that she doesn't have to think a lot. And the common one for all of us, music. She liked music and dancing a lot and being alone. Whenever the anxiety and depression attacks her, she always finds it easier to confine in herself because she says it saves her time, I think, and she says the trouble from explaining and talking a lot. She says it's better now that she has someone to share with, and she's learned new ways to do with it, like dancing and baking.
Is there anything else that anyone wants to add?
I'd just like to add that, you know, there's always resources out there that anyone can go to get more information when it comes to mental health, and you mustn't be afraid to reach out. I mean, there's great resources online, obviously, would be places like SADAG, the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, that have a 24-hour emergency helpline number, and they have incredible resources there that you can reach out to and seek help for as well. And, you know, there's lots of resources out there as well, just for basic information, just trying to figure out a little bit what is anxiety? What is mental health? What does it actually mean? What is self-care? How do I look after my mental well-being and things like that? So I think it'd be great if you do have the spare time and want to research a little bit more about that and reach out and just learn of how do you take care of yourself? How do I take care of my mental well-being? But other than that, just keep going. Things are going to get better.
So I just want to say that this has been my first time on RX Radio, and wow, I'm actually surprised the interviewer has been so friendly and so warm and just so comfortable. And I was heading into this with a mind, wow, what if I'm going to be intimidated? What if they're going to scheme you or something like that? So I think I just want to commend RX Radio on that and thank them for just making this experience as comfortable and as enjoyable and relaxed as possible, because so many times being a matriculant, school and things like that are factors that intimidate you and makes you scared and anxious. And that is just things that poke and just jab at your mental health. And once again, thank you.
Thanks to everyone that joined me today. We wish you all of the best, and we're back next month for another edition of CCC. Goodbye.